There's something the Spirit has for you today, and as always, I want us to be at the same wavelength. Eh? For some reason, I don't yet feel that, eh? But we have to go ahead with the word for the day. And even as I minister, eh, I pray you will find yourself in the word. Eh? Praise the living God. Amen. Now, I ask myself a question of what it takes or what the Spirit of the Lord does to get a person to an expected end. What does it take? And not necessarily from us, eh? But how does God do it? How does God get a person from point A to point Z, that place of expected end? What does he do? And how does a person position themselves? Because you can be a Christian all your life, and this is not your portion, eh? You can be a Christian all your life and never get to the expected end. You attend fellowship, you pray. All those are important factors of growth. But there are things you need to take note of, that the Spirit of the Lord emphasizes to ensure that you get to the expected end. Now, naturally, because there's a lot to it, the Lord wants to highlight something for you specifically today. I love to watch... I'm a person who loves to watch movies and series. Eh? Yeah, we don't spend our entire time just praying. Yeah, I like to watch some movies and series. But specifically, I like medical dramas. Eh? And when I say drama, I'm not referring to the mushy-mushy kind. Because eh? there are medical dramas that are mushy-mushy. Eh? But I'm referring to... I like medical series that create desire. I'm sure most people who became doctors... Eh? We're watching those series, eh? And they said, I think this is what I should become. When they reach there, they realize it's different. Eh? But I like medical dramas like House. I liked House. I like The Good Doctor. Huh? There's some that I'm not a fan of, because they're too mushy-mushy. Eh? Huh? I like those that create some inquisitive, they make you think. Eh? So I like medical dramas, I like medical movies. But I also, more than medical dramas and series, I like legal dramas and legal series. So I like Suits. Huh? I like Suits. I think one of my best series was Boston Legal. I loved Boston Legal. Some of my best movies ever, there's a movie called A Few Good Men. Yeah, okay, some of you know. But A Few Good Men, probably one of my best ever movies. I like courtroom dramas. Huh? Because there's always that, who done it? Eh? So you try to figure out, and you watch all these, especially in the courtroom. Eh? I think The Good Wife is also like that, something like that. There's a movie called Primal Fear, if I'm right. There's some movies that are really, I love their setting because they create suspense. Eh? I don't like movies that are predictable. Now, I'm starting like this, but we're heading somewhere. Praise the Lord. So I'm a fan of, I'm sure there's some people here who became lawyers thinking that in Uganda, that the legal profession is just like Suits. Praise the Lord. And so I am very, recently I was watching a Netflix series called The Lincoln Lawyer. Eh? I love such things. And the reason I love them is because in the spirit world, everything that we know about law was derived from the courtroom. Eh? Everything on earth that we know about law was derived from the spirit realm, the courtroom. And so even in the natural, especially when it has to do with criminal law, now, at some point, I wanted to become a lawyer. Huh? At some point, eh? I thank God that the Lord directed me elsewhere, but I wanted to be a lawyer. And so... I used to love, especially a criminal lawyer, eh? Because I used to look at that the fact that Jesus is our advocate, and anyway, and for another day. So, when I watch many of these criminal dramas, I noticed that if they really want to convict someone, now please, I don't have to be legally right. This is the spirit of God. Because there's some lawyers here. But there's always a need for either an abundance of evidence or the lack of it for either a person to be convicted or not be convicted. There must be witnesses. Okay? In other words, the more evidence there is, the more likely a person will be convicted. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because, let's go to John chapter 16, verse 13. Actually, start from verse 12. John chapter 16 from verse 12. This is Jesus speaking. He's with his disciples. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. So Jesus is in a situation. He's right in front of his disciples. He's coming to the end of his ministry. Okay? He's about to die or to be crucified. And he has things that are burning in his spirit that he wants to say to these guys. But it's possible language, time, and the capacity of the people listening limits him. So he says, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Because people don't realize that when it comes to ministering the gospel, you bear a message. You don't just listen to it. You carry it. Anyway, so in verse 13, this is what he says. He comes up with a solution. He says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, what Jesus is saying here is, what I've failed to say, someone else will come and be able to bring it to you in a language you can be able to understand. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. And that aside, it's one of the burdens of a minister, that there are things you can fail to articulate. And you literally look at the faces of people and you can see that just the words are just flying over the head. And as a minister, you need to learn this, that just as Jesus was struggling to communicate something, but they could not bear it, he handed it over to the Spirit. Amen. And that's the work of every minister. So my aim, even as a teacher, is not to get you to a place where you have to understand everything. Because I learned long ago that every message that is displayed to you, or that is preached to you, or taught to you, is not always for today. Okay? A message can be for your tomorrow. In other words, you can hear, but at a certain point in the future, you will hear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Eh? Praise the living God. Amen. So, it's very important you understand this. That he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, he calls him the Spirit of truth, which I'll get to that, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak, and he will show things to you. Now, things to come. Eh? He'll show you things to come. Now, there's a way God the Father communicates. There's the way God the Christ communicates, and there's a way God the Spirit communicates. Each of them has their way of communicating. And I don't want to dwell on that because that's the message for today. But, for example, Jesus is referred to as the Word. And when he was on earth, when he spoke, he said, the words that I speak are spirit and truth. And in this scripture, he's saying that even though the words that I speak, the way that I teach, is spirit and truth, there is a way someone else coming teaches that will impact you more than myself. Amen. Are you with me? Yes. So when Jesus teaches, he teaches using word, because he is the word. Eh? All right? When the Holy Spirit comes, let me show you an example. When the Holy Spirit comes, he doesn't speak words like Jesus did. Although he does, eh? His focus is not the words. It's not, I am the way, the truth, the life. When the Holy Spirit comes, Scripture says, he guides you into all the truth. So he doesn't spend time telling you. So he takes, you can have a seat. He takes what the Christ has said and guides you into the words. So that when you have been guided into them, you now become the mouthpiece. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You're with me? The aim of the Spirit of God when he's guiding you into truths is 1 John chapter 1 verse 1. Take me there. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. What does it say? I pray you're paying attention. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Go on, verse 2. It's important. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness. This is the legal term that is coming up. I'm going to focus on it. Bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So, he's saying that which was in the beginning, that which they had, which they saw, which they looked upon, they held with their hands, they now present it. That does not happen by hearing sermons. It happens by the Spirit guiding you. And he doesn't guide theoretically. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
The Spirit does not do theory. So, let me give you an example. Actually, before that, the Lord has whispered it to me. Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Jesus gave a commission. What was the commission? He says, go you therefore, talking to his disciples and talking to you. He says, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son of the Holy Ghost. This is what he's saying. So he's telling them, go into all the world. This scripture is quoted all the time. So what people think is that, you know, when you get born again, listen to a few sermons, just go out, teach the nations. That's not exactly what it means. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, take me there. When Jesus is about to be taken up, he's now more specific. But ye shall receive power after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, what he's showing here is the progression of witness. So, in other words, you don't just become a Christian and go out into the world. It starts from the boundaries of your influence, where you start from, Jerusalem. And then you move to Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. For that to happen, the Spirit has to take you through levels. Are you with me? Okay. Now, the reason why the Spirit of the Lord takes you or guides you from one thing to another, he will take, actually what will happen is that he will take a spiritual truth and in your life, manifest it physically and you will go through it. When you go through it, the aim of the Spirit of God is for you to become a witness. Now, this is very, 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 very important. Let me give you a practical example. When my wife was giving birth, there were three stages of people. There was the father observing. There were the midwives involved in the process. And there was the woman giving birth. Are you with me? If you asked me how the birth process was, based on my witnessing, I would give you my story. But if the midwives spoke, their witness would be more practical than mine. But even they pale in comparison to the person who went through it. Are you with me so far? And yet all three are witnessing. Praise the Lord. Even though all three are witnesses, the level of authority when speaking increases. Yes. Amen. And that's how it is with life. Eh? When the Spirit takes you through things, you hear that which you have heard. So you're sitting here, you're hearing, oh, glory to God. You don't know that you're on a very low level. And then you pray, Lord, let this be part of my life. You don't know what you're praying. And so he takes you, you see, you look upon, and you hold. And so when something has happened to you, you've experienced it. When you speak, your words are backed by authority. That's how the Spirit teaches. He guides. Praise the Lord. You're with me? Now, God does nothing or establishes nothing on earth without witnesses. Absolutely impossible. God doesn't. Okay, look throughout scripture. It says in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. That's what the Bible says. It says a threefold cord is not easily broken. When two people are getting married, one of the priorities is that there must be witnesses. Because for something to be true, it must be witnessed. So when God is speaking of things from the scriptures, when he wants them to manifest on earth, he must have witnesses. Now, there are different kinds of witnesses. There are the witnesses in heaven, and I'm going to get to that. Witnesses on earth. There's the inner witness in a man. And then there's the witness of creation. I wish you're on my wavelength. Because all these three are extremely important for you to determine where God is taking you. Amen. All these four, actually, where God is taking you. Now, 1 John chapter 5, from verse 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Are you with me so far? Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Record there is witness. Amen. So in the heavenly realms, these three, and the Bible says, and these three are one. So they bear witness in heaven. That's not what I want to focus on today. The next verse. And there are three that bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. Let's first stop there. What is this about? You know? So I ask myself, what is this about? Because he's saying, these three bear witness in earth: the Spirit, the water, and the blood. In the old times of Jesus, some of you might have heard me say this, when a person was about to become a rabbi, say amen.
Amen.
I just needed to hear that. When a person was about to become a rabbi, when they reached the age of 30 as a minister, that age of 30 is a very spiritual age, they would take them to what they call the mizpah, or a pool, okay? And call a parent, and the high priest would dip the potential rabbi into the pool, okay? And they had to be a witness of a parent, okay? Minimum two witnesses, actually, so that by the time he's baptized in, it will be clear to all that now he has graduated from an average person to a, say amen.
Amen.
Now, when that had happened, after being baptized, the Father would then speak over his Son. and say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And so when Jesus was going through the process, at the age of 30, he didn't go to a high priest because he's higher than him. Are you with me? So he's taken to the River Jordan. And John the Baptist, standing in an office as a prophet, okay? And by the way, I need you to understand that baptism was not the call of John the Baptist. Okay. Baptism was the process by which you could identify Christ. Everyone else just benefited. Are you with me? And so, here's what happened. Jesus, because John the Baptist, who was 6 months older than Jesus, according to scripture, because they are cousins. John the Baptist, interestingly, even if they were cousins, he didn't know who the Messiah was. Okay? Because for him, the moment he was able to understand, the man was in a wilderness, eating cockroaches and... Anyway, so he had no idea who Jesus was. In fact, there are some people who think that Jesus and John the Baptist, because they were cousins, they connived. No, actually, there are people like that. Eh? They think that they connived to, like, okay, you be the Baptist, I'll be the Christ. We'll make our family a huge name. Eh? No, not con men, because no one dies for a false thing. Eh? So what happened was, when Jesus comes, according to scripture, he enters the water, just like they would for the rabbi. And the moment he comes out, you know the story. The Holy Spirit comes down as a dove. That's the first witness. In earth, three bear witness. The Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was the first. He came down. He was in water, he came out. Are you with me?
Yes.
And a voice came from heaven. This is my beloved son, of whom I am well pleased. And scripture says that when John heard it, he confirmed that indeed, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There were more than two witnesses. Water was a witness. Spirit was a witness. The Father was a witness. John the Baptist was a witness. That's why when Jesus came, he said, I do not testify of myself. Now, I'm getting somewhere with this. He said, I do not testify of myself. So the Spirit came upon him and witnessed, John witnessed that indeed this is the Son. And the water baptism was a witness. Okay? Now, in Genesis chapter 4, Genesis chapter 4, take me there. I think verse 7. Take me to verse 7. This is a story of Cain and Abel. If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. So he kills him. The first murder in history recorded. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, so the chief spirit comes to Cain and says, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now there's something Cain did not know. He did not know that there are invisible witnesses. Now, I'm getting, because the answer he gave as someone who thought that what he did with no one seeing. Are you with me? Now, verse 10 is important. And he said, what hast thou done? The Lord says this, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Verse 11. And now thou cast from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Here's what happens. This is very important. When someone's blood is spilt, the ground keeps it as evidence. Even if someone has killed someone, eh? And cleaned up the blood. Okay. It says, the earth opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. So the moment that Abel was killed, the blood was taken up by the ground, and the ground kept it. So when the blood was crying, it was crying from the ground. Are you with me? And he did not know that blood has volume. It can speak. It wasn't just speaking, it was crying. I'm getting somewhere. When Jesus was crucified on the cross, he was pierced and his blood touched the ground. According to scripture, there was an earthquake. The difference between Jesus and Abel is that when Abel was killed, an innocent man died. But when Jesus was killed, a righteous man died. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, when an innocent man, the first ever innocent man, died and his blood was swallowed up, the blood cried. It came as a witness before God. Since Abel, men were dying. Some innocent, some guilty. Blood was being spilt. But I want you to understand, the earth had never tasted righteous blood. Sometimes I think the earth had never tasted righteous blood. That's why there was an earthquake. Amen. Now, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus that speaks a more perfect testimony than the blood of Abel. So blood is a witness. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. I told you that God establishes nothing here on earth without a witness. Now, why is this important to you? The reason it is important is because when the Spirit of the Lord takes you through circumstances and situations, when words have been spoken over you, the Spirit of the Lord will provide witness. Amen. To establish that what has been said is true. Amen. Are you with me? I told you that there is the witness in heaven, the three, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Notice that the Spirit is the key factor in both of them. Okay? Because Jesus referred to him as a Spirit of truth. There are two ways a Spirit can be identified. A Spirit is identified, number one, by the territory it is working in. So the Bible talks about a prince of Persia, a prince of Greece, a prince of so on and so forth. There's a prince of Uganda. You understand? Another way a spirit can be identified is by its nature, its predominant nature. So when the Bible refers to a spirit of infirmity, the infirmity is not theoretical. It is seen on the host that spirit is in. It is seen physically. You're with me? A spirit of lust can be seen physically because they're attributes. So when a spirit is identified, it's identified primarily by territory and by the nature that predominantly oozes out of it. Jesus here, referring to the Spirit of God, referred to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth, meaning the most predominant aspect is truth. Okay? I'm getting there. Most predominant aspect. When I was years back, in the year 2008, I'd been ministering before, but I had no idea what my call was. In the year 2008, I was sitting down and watching a man of God minister, teacher of the word. And something in me began to rise up. Amen. I remember I was sitting home alone. At that time, we used to stay in the Bugolobi flats. Eh? And I sat in that room alone, and I listened to this guy. And something in me began to rise. And I felt a witness inside me that I was a teacher of the word. Amen. But I did not jump out to go and start a ministry. This is 2008. 2012, for some reason, the Spirit of the Lord moves upon my father, and he says, I want you to go to Israel. So I went to Israel for an agricultural course. What that has done for me, who knows? Eh? But I believe that the Spirit of the Lord took me there for other things. Eh? Yeah? That is 2012. Now, I want you to understand, 2008, I get the inward witness. 2012, I go to Israel. I'm there for about a month. Eh? And I interact with different, interestingly, rabbis on the perception, on their perception of Scripture. When I come back in 2012, people start to call me rabbi. And I disliked the name because it implied, people would think I'm Jewish. Eh? And a man of God took me aside and he said, the Lord never does mistakes. Amen. If people are predominantly calling you that, it is a sign of something. Amen. So I sat back and I thought, maybe this is a confirmation of 2008. 2013, I was invited to a youth conference in Seroma. And for the first time, I was asked to come up and minister. And my first message was understanding the times. After I had finished ministering, an Anglican priest called me up, got anointing oil, poured it, and said, indeed, you are called to ministry. Amen. And there are some people who are there at that time. I don't know if they're here. But so he poured upon me. That day, 2013. 2015, I start ministry. 2017, a prophet picks me out and says, you stand in the office of a teacher. Now, what I need you to understand, all those are witnesses. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So when I stand up and I say I'm a teacher, it's not because I had someone preaching. God confirms what is upon you. Amen. Are you with me? Now, and I'm telling you, just like Jesus, for 30 years walked the earth. He's the Son of God, but no one apart from him and his mother. His father perhaps had died by then because we don't see him after. But no one actually knows who he is. But there was a day of witness. There was a day of witness. And from that day onwards, he says, he goes around saying, actually, John is the first to say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Next, Nathaniel comes, you are indeed the Son of God. And so you keep on seeing now, constantly, confirmation until the day he died. Because even on the cross, when there was an earthquake, there's a centurion sitting there and says, surely, this was a righteous man. And you see, you need to understand that your life is full of witnessing. That's how you can know the path that you're on. Especially if the witness is separate from you. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, you see, it's not enough to say, I dreamt I'm going to be a billionaire. Huh? Because that could be an inward witness. But in the presence of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. Can I take you through? Oh my God, time can run. Eh? I want to take you through. If I may, I want to take you through quickly the story of Joseph. Eh? Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. Eh? Genesis 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. One. These are the generations of Jacob. There's a secret there, but for another day. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Verse 3. Now Israel meaning Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. I'm skipping a lot of things. Not? And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Go on. We're getting there. And Joseph dreamt a dream. Now, I want you to understand that you know the story here. He's 17 years old, and his call is confirmed at 17 by an inward witness. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? He has a dream. And you see, I want you to understand that there is no one here born of God who God has not already shown you your end. But like Joseph, he goes to his family and says, I had a dream. In his state at 17, he's ignorant. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can be ignorant of what God has shown you. And interestingly, the people around you can see it. Huh? So God, through a dream, twice shows him what's going to happen. And the reason that dream is shown twice is because there's a law in the spirit. When you dream something twice, it is established. It is going to happen. But leave alone that. Actually, his brothers bowed before him twice. The first time when they came to him and they wanted bread from Egypt. The next time was when the father had died in Genesis chapter 50. Jacob has died. And the Bible says they feared that their brother would revenge. And they went before him and bowed. Now, I want you to see how far the Lord sees. I want you to see. And what is of Joseph has happened to you, I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you. It has. But through ignorance, you fail to interpret it. Okay? Now, there are a number of factors here. I won't go through the story. He comes, he tells his brothers, and his brothers interpret the dream. Okay? When they interpret it, it is possible. One of the signs of what God has called you for is your haters. Let me tell you, there is nothing that shows you you're heading the right direction like haters. And they seem to exponentially increase. Now look at her. Now she's married. Now look at her. Now she has got twins. Now look at her. Eh? And so you understand, they just keep increasing. The path is right. And so the first were the haters, the brothers. But according to scripture is that finally, your haters can be your greatest. They just bow down and say, we made a mistake. Now, I want to show you something. That the next witness was his father. And scripture says the father said, are you saying that your mother, myself, and your brothers will bow before you? And scripture says, and Jacob walked away, but he kept the dream in his heart. And Jacob there symbolizes fatherhood. Amen. Someone who is over you. And people over you, generally, if they're spiritual, the Lord will use them to confirm what is upon you. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Now, I want to show you the amazing hand of the Spirit of God. Because the day that Joseph told his dreams, you know the story? He's taken away. His brothers plan to kill him. Huh? You guys. They plan to kill him. Long story short, he's taken all the way to Egypt. Listen to me carefully. You cannot witness. Huh? Actually, it's this. You cannot. There is no testimony unless you're a witness. Amen. Testimonies are drawn from witnesses. Amen. There is no such thing as a testimony of a person who's not a witness. Amen. And so when Jesus said in Acts chapter 1:8, he says, go you into all the world The Holy Ghost shall come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. Everyone thinks that means getting born again and going out, Jesus is Lord. You can't witness what you have not held. You get what I'm saying? You can't. Now, testimonies are drawn from witness. I would show you Psalms chapter 89 verse 37. I'll show you that there are things on earth, things around you can witness about you. 89 verse 37. Not 7, eh? Quick. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Now, you will read the context here. The moon can witness against you. If I had time, I would show even the sun. On the day of judgment, certain people will be shocked the things that come to witness. Murderers will be shocked, I'm telling you. Blood will show up. I say, what is this? I cleaned up the blood. The sun will show up. Because these are not just, God did not create non-living things. They observe. The sun and moon. They observe. They will be a witness. Anyway, so testimony is drawn from being a witness. There are levels of testimony. Levels. I'm going to wind up. There are levels of testimony. There is a testimony of survival, which to me is a testimony, but it's a low testimony because the testimonies move from glory to glory. A large percentage of the church have testimonies of survival. I like to thank the Lord. We didn't have food last night, but someone just came and just gave us some food. Praise the Lord. And indeed, it is the hand of God. Because the scripture around it says, in Psalms 124, it says, had it not been for the Lord, our enemies would have swallowed us up. Are you with me? So there's a testimony of preservation, a testimony of survival. Somehow in your state, things were hitting you left and right, but your head is still above water. But that's not the desire of the Lord for you to stay at. Amen. There is a higher testimony called the testimony of promotion. Amen. Now, praise the Lord. Eh? Amen. The testimony of promotion, where the Spirit of the Lord, the Bible says of Joseph, that when he cried before his brothers, take me to Genesis chapter 45. We're going to get there. That when he cried before his brothers, something happened. When a testimony of promotion occurs, and you look through the stories of many people in the Bible, they go through the stages. They first survive, then they are promoted. I'll show you as I move on. So the Bible says you move from glory to glory, where people can see that you were once here, but now you're here. Huh? We need more testimonies of promotion. Amen. I was on a board and I survived the accident. No. Promoted to car in Jesus' name. My car fuel prices promoted to plane. Jesus' name. Amen. And luxury train. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eh? There's a testimony of promotion where someone looks at your life, they see a gradual movement. You're not just surviving. Are you with me? After that, higher than the testimony of promotion. Now, please understand, all these promotions can happen at once, in one go. And a person is testifying, and they're testifying all of them within one event. But higher than the testimony of promotion, for the sake of classification, higher than the testimony of promotion is the testimony of understanding. Now, this is very, very important. In Genesis chapter 45, Genesis 45, I believe it's verse 5 to 8. Let's read this. Quick. Now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry. This is Joseph speaking to his brothers. With yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Now, I want you to understand how powerful this is. It implies that even though their heart were inclined to evil, God was the one sending. Now, this is one of the biggest mysteries ever. That it doesn't say that God used the circumstance and it worked out for good. It is saying that when these guys were operating in evil, God was in it sending. Now, it says, for God did send me before you to preserve. I want you to understand the testimony of understanding that Joseph went through a lot of things, but now he's in a place of maturity where he can look back and he understands. A testimony of understanding is extremely powerful because you see the hand of God. You understand why you went through what you went through. And one of the toughest things about the lives, the situations we go through, is not understanding. Why am I single for this long? Lord, why am I single for this long? And so Joseph goes on, verse 6. For these 2 years, the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. It's one thing, you see, because Joseph was promoted. You see his life, okay? He's in prison. And in 24 hours, he went to sleep. He went to sleep a prince. Woke up that morning, a prisoner, went to sleep. Amen. In a space of 24 hours. Amen. Are you with me? Constantly promotion, said everywhere that he went, because the Bible says that the person who took him up, Potiphar, when he took him up, he found favor with him. So even in slavery, he found promotion because he was above everyone else. Amen. When he's taken to prison, still promotion. Amen. Even when he's in prison and he's taken out, promotion. Are you trying to? So there's a testimony of constant promotion. Amen. But higher than that is that he understands. Amen. Say, Lord, now I get it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The testimony of understanding. Most of us understand it backwards. So you, after you've gone through it, you're like Joseph, you look. But there are people who, by the grace of God, based on the intimacy of God they have, the Spirit of the Lord will reveal to them while they're in the thing. So the person is in a thing and they know exactly where they're supposed to go, what they're supposed to do. May that be your portion in Jesus' name. A testimony of understanding. Higher than that is the testimony of encounter.
Amen.
Now, Job said, I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye has seen thee. Before that happens, God appears to Job and says, who is this that darkens counsel with words absent of knowledge? In other words, you're just talking theoretical. Then he says, God says, gird up your loins now. Answer me. This is God. Then he says, declare if you have understanding. So that means from the mind of God, declaration must come from the point of understanding. And you just stand there and you just say, praise the Lord. Jesus is good. Jesus, and yes, from a theoretical perspective, until the Spirit guides you into a situation and you come out, and by the time you say, guys, God is good. Just the statement. You don't have to explain a lot. People just look at you and say, yeah, man. God is good. Isn't God good? No, I said, isn't God good? He's wonderful. He's perfect. I taught you this last week. Temuri serious. So there's a testimony of encounter where you meet God. You know, according to scripture, There is the resurrection, the event. There's a resurrection, the experience. And resurrection, the person. You can be a witness to one of those, but each witness is different. I know what I'm talking about. People don't die. It's very hard to die for a gospel, or to die for something that you just saw someone else go through. Are you getting what I'm saying? So even if they resurrected Lazarus, the disciples, you don't see them willing to die. They run. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because they've witnessed an event, but they haven't yet, first of all, experienced the resurrection, which the Bible says that you were once dead, but now you're alive. You're with me? You've experienced it. But more than that, it's the understanding of the person. You've seen him. And once you've seen who he is, you're willing to die. People don't die because of seeing events. And this is why the reason I tell you, you think, someone sometime was telling me, that Rabbi, I just feel like when the Antichrist comes and there's persecution, what? I just feel like I'm ready to die for Christ, you know? I'm ready. And I was like, just here in these riots here on here, pa, no, Rabbi. You don't know. There is something in you that the Spirit takes you into it, and you encounter it, and something dies. And fear disappears. There's some of you who are strong because of what you've gone through. And someone else, you know, from a theoretical perspective, who said, but I don't know why. Why? Just that situation. And so until you experience something, it's very theoretical. And the same is true of the Lord. You're just a child of God. You're not yet, you can't witness what you have not been taken through. You can't, it's literally impossible. That's why the degrees, you have to have seen it. So if we talk about prophecy and prophesying, when you see someone prophesying, that's one level. You go and say, man, me, I can't prophesy, but I've seen a guy. And like the disciples, you say, come, we have found him. Who is what? You take. That's one level. The second level is when the thing is on you now. And you say, prophecy doesn't exist. First sit. You ate this for breakfast. Your mother's name is this. Your birthday is this. Now tell me. Okay? That is a deeper witness. I had one time of a man of God who was invited to minister somewhere. And he was supposed to minister on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the person before him had exactly the same message. And he spoke for 1 hour about each gift. After he had finished, this man stood up and demonstrated all of them in 5 minutes and sat down. People don't forget that. You know, they don't forget something that is demonstrated right in front of them. And that's the place the Lord wants to take you, because within the area of your call, God doesn't want you to be theoretical. You're there in business, or you're in media, or whatsoever. And he's just like, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. No. You're just quoting scriptures. The Spirit of the Lord will guide you into all aspects of truth. Which brings me to the highest testimony that there is. The Bible refers to it as the testimony of God. Yeah. The testimony of God. That, at a very low level, is when people see you. They see what God has done. You don't have to say anything. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. I need to finish. 1 John 5, verse 9. It says, if we receive the witness of men, so there's a witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God. Another version says the testimony of God, which he hath testified of his son. So he's referring to what is called, referred to as the testimony of God. He testifies of his son. Now, what that means is that when you go something in your, when you go through things in life, and God has taken you through those levels of testimony, because I don't have time to go into what the Bible refers to as the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. That's a whole different category altogether. But when God has worked through your life, what happens is, if a person has walked with God, the testimony of God is not just understanding what God has done. It is seeing things the way God meant them to be from the beginning. And God never does something without trying to demonstrate his son. That's why, if you look through the story of Joseph, Joseph had reached a testimony of understanding. You with me? But he never finds out that his life was a pattern of Jesus. Are you with me? And so, he's sold by his brethren. Okay? He's in prison. He's promoted. And he saves a gallant of people. He is a pattern of the Christ, but he never knows it. And so when he goes to glory, God shows him that this wasn't just about you. You are demonstrating to generations to come, my son. And it's not just Joseph. All of us. I'm telling you, you don't know that there's a lot about your life that is patterned after Jesus' life. You don't know it. And one day you stand before him. And you realize that your life was a pattern, the testimony of God. It's because of this then, the Bible says, they overcame him. By what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Why do they overcome him? By the word of the testimony. Because testimonies are drawn from witness. Something is authentic. It is true when there are witnesses to it. And the devil has no way. I can assure you here that for every one of us, just like Joseph's life, the Lord had to teach me that nothing in the life of Joseph was random and nothing in your life is random. So let me give you a quick one as I wind up. Joseph is taken, he's put into a pit, but he has no idea that the God of heaven planned all this before the foundations of the earth. Later he understands this. He says, God, what you meant for bad, Genesis 50:18, he says, what you meant for bad, the Lord meant it for good. So they put him in a pit. Years before, they had no idea. I just want you to imagine the way I see things. A man builds a road, not knowing he's inspired to build that road because the Lord knows that someday Joseph will need Midianites to come and pick him up. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he builds the road, who knows, hundreds of years before. And people walk it, but God is looking at Joseph. And so they could have taken him to any pit, but they take him to a pit close to the road. And somewhere far away, Joseph does not know that God is working to ensure that in Egypt, a Pharaoh arises that will be the right Pharaoh for him. And Potiphar is promoted not of his own will. God is looking at Joseph. I want you to understand how the life is working around. And so he goes to prison. He goes to prison, and those guys are sent to prison, not knowing that everything is working out so that glory can be bestowed upon the servant of God. Your life is just like that. It was planned long ago. There's someone being promoted because of where you're going. Praise the living God. There's someone saying no to different men because of you. No, I just don't feel him. No, no, no. And the Lord says, she belongs to him. So there's a pattern there. God is in control. Amen. I believe it, and so should you. Amen. Praise the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You will not be broke. Amen. Amen. May God graduate you from a testimony of surviving. Just only surviving. Hey, Rabbi. Yeah, I told someone the other day. They sent me a message. They said, Rabbi, someone has paid my rent. I said, that's wonderful. May God graduate you for you to pay your own rent. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Or if not, may you be able to pay it and someone pays it for you.
Amen.
Rather than not being able to pay.
Amen.
May you walk into a restaurant and not ask, "Hey man, this one is too expensive. Are you a child of God?" We own cattle on a thousand hills. God owns cattle on a thousand hills, but he doesn't eat meat. So who's the cattle for? Thank you.
Amen.
I wish he had included like pork and all those things. Praise the Lord. So, here's the thing. There's nothing that is going out of control. Everything is within the confines of God.
Amen.
My prayer for you is that you might be able to discern the witnessings of the Spirit,
Amen.
The confirmations of the Spirit beyond you. Beyond you. Praise the living God.
Amen.
I will never call myself something that God has not shown me I am. Huh? I've loved this past week. I've got so many testimonies. Doors are opening up for people, and I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Now, if that's not happening for you, don't worry, your time is here. But some people are going abroad. And you know, when you come to me and you say, "Rabbi, I'm going," I'm not that kind of person who says, Ebanange, may I say, I'll come and visit you.
Yeah.
You understand, eh? Hey!
Yeah.
Not these things over. Remember me. You remember me? No. Actually, memory is better when I'm there physically. I just come and say, "Remember me." Praise the Lord. So there's some people flying out I'm happy for them. There are others who have finally someone came and said, "Rabbi, finally my financial breakthrough has come." Since when? 2018. We are in a season of testimony.
Amen.
And that's what the Lord told me. From now till December. Now, may you experience all those categories of testimony. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We move from glory to glory. Start taking pictures. Put them on. If media person, you put them on and say, "Before, after." Now we should start before, after. Huh? You understand? Moving forward. Huh? Praise the Lord. When you go abroad, may they not say, "Posi, which country are you from?" When you walk in, it's like, "You said you're from Africa? You don't look like you're from Africa." They say, "Africa got its own glory." You see them shoes? They're not made in America. They're made in Africa. We have crocodile shoes, giraffe shoes, all.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.